ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Cricket Podcast time with your boys, Corbin Middlemass, live from Adelaide Oval, and Ed Cowan. He's home in Sydney as we're less than a week away from Christmas, and it may well have come early for the Australian cricket team in a commanding position at stumps, a lead of 356, 4 wickets down, and the summer of Trav Ball continues, and his biggest fan, the president of his fan club, is Ed Cowan, my podcast co-host. Hello, Teddy.
Corb, my T-shirt that says Trav Ball is looking like a good investment at this point in time. I think prices might go up after today. Supply, just basic supply and demand.
Yeah.
They will not be able to sell enough of those.
There's so much to pick apart when it comes to the 100, but basically the state of play today. England showed the same defiance that they ended yesterday with. So after trailing by 158, they got the deficit down to 85 at the change of innings. And then by stumps, it just progressively got away from them again. 356 is the margin at close. It would already be a record fourth innings chase if England had a win from here. And that's if they started tomorrow by taking 6 for none. So you think that lead's going to grow and grow and grow from an Australian point of view as we head into day four. Just a quick one on the state of play. How do you see it positioned at stumps on the third day?
Do you like watching election night?
Yes, I actually do.
And you flick through the channels and wait to see who calls the election first?
Yes.
And usually the greatest bellwether of an election prediction is the ABC's own Anthony Green.
Yep.
Well, I'm prepared to call this series. It is done, Corbin. This is over. Call it off. Throw in the towel. Australia are 3-0 up. Whether they win at 5 o'clock tomorrow or midday on day five, who cares? They're going to win convincingly. And, you know, we'll be very happy Australian fans come Sunday.
Yeah. Felt like the same old themes, didn't it? That the bowling plans, and then if it wasn't the plans, you think, well, the execution wasn't there. And then while all that's happening, the Travis Head brilliance. We might just start on the upswing. So Australia started this summer not sure about what its opening combination was going to be. They thought Usman Khawaja was a lock. They'd cycled through so many different names. One of them was Travis Head, and we were all thinking, well, the only reason Head was the name was because of the subcontinent conditions. And then really out of necessity, he opens in the second innings in Perth, peels off 100. And now after Australia has struggled for openers to churn out hundreds and big runs in recent times, he's really only been opening the batting for, what, 4 or 5 hits since he's returned to that role, and comes out and he's got his second 100 of the series. And, gee, it was equally as breathtaking today, and was a chanceless 99. And then he got dropped right on the precipice of the milestone and went on to raise his bat again in Adelaide, the fourth time in as many tests here he's done that. So so much for Bazball. It's all about the Trav Ball.
And I love the celebration, down on the knees, kissing the perfectly immaculate and flat Adelaide Oval track, his home ground where he's grown up, that has given him so much happiness and community and joy, and to have his family and his wife there must have been incredibly special. And his great mate, Alex Carey.
Yeah.
So I imagine you threw the statistic out yesterday, Alex Carey, you went through the names of South Australians who'd scored test hundreds. I imagine this is the first ever test where two South Australians have scored a test match 100.
So it is at home. We did manage to find two.
Sorry, at the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, easy. Yeah. I actually, from what we could tell, and Rick was looking through his numbers as the day went on, I actually think it's only the third time ever. So any ground, any venue, but it's the first time clearly at Adelaide Oval. But I think the Chapels did it, and then there was one early case sort of going way back when I think Bradman was playing for South Australia. So think about, in our lifetime, Teddy, it's very rare that you get two South Australians in the same team, let alone two South Australian batsmen, then have them both have this, a day at the same time or within a couple of days of each other in a test match, and even more rare, obviously, when the home test match rolls around.
Yeah, both world-class players and world-class people. There's no doubt about that. So let's unpick the innings. I mean, let's start with all we've heard for the last couple of years is how hard it is to open the batting in Australia.
Yep.
We've been sold the Kookaburra ball's got a bigger seam and the wickets, move more now than ever. And, there is some statistical evidence, but it also suggests that the quality of opening batting just hasn't been that great, because this guy's walked out to bat 5 times. He's got 200s. And, you know, probably could have had more runs at times. You know, was going in Brisbane and got out. So it's been an amazing transformation, and it speaks to the testament of the quality of the player that he, you know, can move his game from subcontinent where there's low bounce and we know that he can get after the new ball like he does in one day cricket, to where there's a lot of pace and bounce and he can play a variety of shots. So I've loved what I've seen. It's unorthodox at times, but sometimes opening the batting, that can definitely pay off, and we've seen players over the years be able to do that. That is very hard to bowl to. I actually preferred their plans today to the two left-handers. They came over the wicket. They tried to bring the ball down the line. They got it in Weatherald's blind spot again, despite it being a shocker of a decision. But Head got away and didn't really take a risk. I mean, the bowling at times was very pedestrian. There's no spinner, really. It's worse than part-time. But you got to get them. And the manner to which he got them was sublime. So it was a joy to watch, actually.
What does he do well? It felt like that area in particular, we talk about, you know, playing through the V, and what people mean is obviously straight down the ground. His V was, you know, third man to cover. And basically, as he stood up and looked out, he just peppered balls into that area of the ground. And They were lobbed up to him, back of a length, and it sort of played into his cut shot, which he was able to play beautifully all day, or a square jive or whatever it was, and he dominated through that area.
So the two things he does well is he transfers his weight and he hits the ball late.
Yep.
And they're two pretty good combinations when you're talking about the basics of batting. But you're right, I can't remember a cut shot the Australians served up, like not one.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you'd be in the 40 to 50 count for England, and then, you know, not aided by their off spinner, you know, exclusively dealing in cut shots. I don't think he pitched the ball up once. He's just got no control. So the runs were there, and he took them, and he was well supported by Alex Carey in the end. You know, there were little moments for England. You spoke about, you know, their stoicism this morning. That was a nice passage of play where they batted well and they made Australia kind of grind it out. But in the end, the new ball kind of did the trick. And you could see the disappointment. I know we're covering some ground here on Ben Stokes' face. Having resisted for so long, Mitch Stark, you know, playing tightly, playing under his eyes. He just couldn't maintain the discipline for long enough. And that's really been the blueprint as to why England are behind. Even when they do get themselves back in the game, they can't be disciplined for long enough, bat, ball, and in the field.
It felt like all the familiar themes that we've spoken about just repeating today, didn't it,
as the
day went on.
Like, it feels like we're talking about the same stuff. Yeah. So I'm trying to give a new angle to the same themes, for sure.
We talk about themes repeating, and this is how good this Australian team is, particularly at home, that, you know, Test cricket is just that. It's a grind. It's multiple tests. It's, you know, multiple days in the series. And ultimately, you're trying to bank all that. In the fight game, they talk all the time about, you know, working to the body, and it's money in the bank. And it basically is credits that you get later in the fight, which come back to help you if you work to the body. And really, the cricket equivalent is what this Australian team does, where they wear guys down. And I thought, as heroic as Ben Stokes has been, and the absolute warrior and the defiance that he showed with the bat and batting in the 40-degree heat yesterday, it was like the Bumrah moment in Sydney where, you know, the India walk out last year, live test match, hand their team sheet in, and Jasprit Bumrah is not on it. The same way here that, you know, when, again, England sort of turned to Stokes once more and basically needed him to come on and hold down an end and, you know, bend his back and bowl more overs today to keep them in the test and in the series. And basically, they broke him. He couldn't go after that 198 ball innings. They didn't get a single over out of him, out of the 66 that England sent down to end the day. And after all his hard work to get England back into the test and into the series with the bat, it was gone again by stumps, and he wasn't able to contribute with the ball for the rest of the day.
It's an excellent analogy, and something that teams talk about. You know, in team meetings, you talk about getting overs in the bank, not necessarily for this test, but for later in the series. So you're making sure games go into 4 and 5 days, and if you're playing a 4 or 5 test series, it hurts. It takes real courage to be able to back up as a fast bowler, and that's the joy of Stark, Cummins, Boland, Hazelwood, generally speaking, is they have looked after their bodies and they are so resilient. And then we've seen the inverse of this England team, a team underprepared physically, haven't done the overs, you know, for a variety of reasons, but you know, a lot of one-day cricket and a lot of first-class cricket for these guys. And Stokes, he was the one that kind of paid the penalty because the others haven't been able to bowl the overs. And so, you know, it's not just on the Aussies, it's actually on a couple of the England bowlers that haven't done their job, and Stokes is not only doing their job, he's doing his job. And so that and the burden of captaincy, too much. And of course, we should be clear, he's not officially injured, and he may well bowl tomorrow, and so we'll see how that pans out. But if he doesn't break tomorrow or the next day, he's on some kind of clock.
But the game, the match is gone too. Like, I mean, as much as England, you know, statement came down from the shed saying he's fit and available to bowl. Jeetan Patel, their spin bowling coach, said at stumps exactly the same thing, is available. But we all know what it is. It was Travis Head's pulling further and further away from them. He would have been sending down some overs if he was able to. And instead at stumps, it's over for England. And unfortunately for Ben Stokes, he wasn't able to chime in with the ball at a critical stage.
What kind of value for money do you think England are getting out of their spin bowling coach? Just out of interest? Is that a good investment? Yeah. You've got a part-timer and a guy that apparently is hitting the side net.
Yeah, it's... And then the interview that he gave post-play, if you haven't heard it, the Best of ABC Sport folder in the podcast store, you can catch up on the chat that he had with Henry Moran. It's power of positivity. Just positive spin on everything. It's sort of, you know, who says the test is over? You know, still alive. You know, hindsight's wonderful when, you know, quizzed about how come, you know, but you didn't play a genuine spinner as opposed to playing Will Jacks. It's all the familiar type stuff you're used to hearing from the Baz ballers. It was, it felt a little bit, I mean, our guys at the end of it, Darren Lehman and Stuart Clarke both said, look, we must be watching a different game. That his take at stumps was very different than what our guys saw. The rest of the Australian lineup, Teddy. So obviously Travis Head is the highlight. It's incredible, isn't it? 400s at the Adelaide Oval in as many tests. He's been man of the match in the last three. And even if he's not here, it's a hell of a run. And then I saw the numbers posted during the day about other Australian batsmen that have done that at the same venue four times in a row. I was surprised the list was as long as it was. So Bradman at the MCG did it. Hammond at the SCG, Michael Clarke at Adelaide Oval, Steve Smith at the MCG, and now Travis Head becomes just the fifth to do it in Test cricket. It's not a long list, but it's also a pretty hard achievement. Like going back to the same venue, you got to go four different years, basically. It's pretty rare there's multiple Test matches at one venue in the same summer, and then have a day. That's a pretty cool list to be able to be on for Travis Head, and for him it just so happens to be his home Test.
Yeah, I don't think that's the only list he's going to find himself on. You get a sense that, you know, his achievements in cricket are long at the moment between being a match winner in World Cup finals in all formats of the game, really.
Yeah.
And now he's shining in the Test arena and is proving his worth, and he will continue to do so for a while. So hold on to your hats. I don't know how long the list is of five in a row, but you wouldn't want to back against him.
Carey going along swimmingly too. I feel like we're going to talk more about Alex Carey as the Test progresses. We sung his praises two nights ago. He's 52 not out, and he's even money to go back-to-back and make it twin hundreds tomorrow. He's going along beautifully. I want to ask you about four guys, and I feel like all four of them really knock into each other here as the conversation is it as we go forward for the remainder of the series and the future of Australian cricket. Cam Green, so 24, 45, duck, 7. I saw Nick Savage's tweet during the day, averages 28 in home tests. It is the lowest figure by an Australian batter in the last 41 years to have had a minimum 20 hits during that time, averaging only 28 and a half. Is this a concern?
In Australia. Yes.
Home test. Is this a concern?
Yes. Of course it is. And I'm sure he's aware that he's out of form in a series against a bowling attack that's struggling and, you know, on a flat wicket in Adelaide didn't get any runs. So it's bloody hard coming back from injury, and maybe a lot of focus has been on getting his body right to bowl and not so much bat, but he looks out of sync a little bit, and that happens as a batter. But when you're a big shot maker, I guess, and you're not a a technician, it can be hard to find that groove again, and it can spiral. So it is a concern. Are they willing to drop him? I don't know. It's hard to change a winning team, but I'm sure they'd prefer a few more runs out of him. And, you know, the question then becomes, is it a better team with a Bo Webster to bowl, you know, effectively 10 overs, I think, or 11 overs, whatever he bowled? Probably not as effectively, but there is the volume there, and would he score more runs? The answer may be yes, but that doesn't necessarily facilitate a change. And I think he's probably safe, but it's a question mark.
He's on a pretty rare list. Like, there wouldn't be too many players, would there, in the history of the game, whose first 200s have come abroad, and yet he's struggling so much at home. Like, and the other thing to keep in mind is, even though you probably look back through his numbers and they're pretty lean, he was just about our best batsman in the Caribbean. He was pretty good batting at three, which felt too high for him, and yet he did the team thing and filled that spot in the lineup, and on really difficult wickets made a bunch of sort of 40s and 50s here and there that helped Australia into a good position. I saw him make a beautiful 100 in Wellington going back about 18 months ago now, which was a match-winning knock, and then his other 100 came in Ahmedabad. So it's a pretty rare look.
We know he can
look.
Bat. I don't think anyone's denying the skill or the talent. It's a question of form. And when you have a good Australian team, there's always someone in the under the microscope as to where their form sits. It doesn't matter how good you are.
The other thing too is it feels like in Bo Webster's case, the only way he plays in this Australian team is if Green doesn't. Like, that's one spot. And I think that's been proven given the fact that when a batting spot became available, Inglis got it. And then when Smith went out, another batting spot opened up. Khawaja got it. So you're kind of thinking, what other scenarios he's going to play? They wanted to lengthen the batting and have an extra bowling option in Brisbane. Nisa came in. So feels like Green spot's the only one that's going to open for Webster. Jake Weatherald, who missed out today. So LBW, it wasn't out. Was pitching outside leg. And the review would have shown that had he used it. Who's at fault here? Was it the striker or the non-striker to call for the review?
Well, the striker, obviously, if you're a left-handed batter and the ball pitches that far down the wicket, so length ball, and it's not swinging back, automatically as a left-hander, you just know that's not out. So I think that was a little bit at play of I'm a junior or more junior member of the team, haven't played a lot, so I'm going to go to my partner at the other end.
Yep.
And guess what? Trav Head's 3 metres wide of the crease, didn't really have a look at it. It looked bad because he fell over and he's kind of crouched over anyway. So it looks bad. But anyone that saw that live from down the line, so either on TV or you would have seen behind the box, it's just a not out. So it's a shocking decision because it was so clearly to the naked eye not out. Anyone that's watched enough cricket just would shake their head and say they pitched outside leg. And as it was proved correct, that to be the case. So I think a little bit of both, but I think as a test quality batter, you know generally what's close and what isn't close. And you would have got a sense that it's pretty hard to get out LBW over the wicket with the ball not full and swing down the line.
Stuart Clark's been hot on this during our coverage, and he's spot on, by the way. But I feel like the technology and the dramas that have happened around that through the opening couple of days, and then even on this scenario about, you know, Australia not using their referral, it's probably masked a little bit, and perhaps, you know, it probably should be spotlighted more. The umpiring's been pretty ordinary.
Very, very, very average. I'm glad that was actually on my agenda to bring up, so I'm glad you brought it up. Often the technology highlights the bad umpiring, and, you know, when umpires get it right, the technology just kind of rolls in the background.
Yep.
I have also been meaning to ask, did they shake hands, the two umpires we talked about on Monday?
Yeah, I got asked that a couple of times by people online. I didn't see it. I was trying to find it on the television coverage. Couldn't spot that either. We were positioned almost in front of the sight screen, and the pavilion here is square of the wicket. Plus, with the John Williamson performance, there's lots of people out on the ground, so if they did, I didn't spot it. Maybe somebody in the members who's a keen listener to the podcast, Teddy, might have had an eye on the officials afterwards. Because the other thing is, instead of walking out on the ground to start the test match, the umpires are really already out there. And then basically at the end of the anthems and the minute silence, the match starts and away they go. So if they did, I didn't see it. But I sort of lost sight of them while all of that was going on. Two more players I want to ask you about. Knocks into each other. Has Usman done enough with his 82 and his 40 in the second innings to make sure he's there in Melbourne? And is Josh Inglis walking to bat tomorrow with an important innings to hold down his place in the Test team?
Well, let's start with Inglis. Absolutely. This is someone who started with a bang but has fallen by the wayside pretty quickly. And there was a stat that I sent through to you after his first innings, I think. Balls that aren't hitting the stumps, the average is 46, and balls that are hitting the stumps, the average is 8. Of course, when balls are hitting the stumps, it's harder to score. So it should be lower, but 8 also suggests that your defense isn't quite good enough. And so there's a chink in his armor that teams are exposing that he needs to work on, and they'll keep coming.
Do you know what? What I would argue, Teddy, is it's a great matchup for him because England so rarely hit the stumps.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, it should be higher in all cases. So, I mean, he's still pushing for his case for the next best red ball player in Australia. And, you know, that's X thinking about position. And then, you know, it kind of plays into the Khawaja question, 80 in a 40, so no 100, batting at 4. Well, guess what? Steve Smith's going to come back and bat at 4 because we ain't getting rid of Weatherald and Head. And so do you pick a 39-year-old to bat at 6 and or 7? Kerry settled in very nicely. So he's just got 106. Would you change that? Absolutely not. Mm. So maybe they do a double change. And I'm kind of thinking on the fly and a bit laterally that, you know, Green and Inglis go out and Webster and Khawaja kind of come in and stay. And Webster bats at 7 and Khawaja bats at 5. I don't... You're 3-0 up. Like, well, what are you contemplating having? And this is no offense to Usman, and I hope he hears this. It is nothing against him as a person or a player. But if you're looking at your best team, it's pretty hard to say, let's fit in an opening batter to bat at 5 or 7 who's 39 years old when the team's won a series. What a time to let other people shine.
So this, yeah, I was about to say there's two different trains of thoughts with this. It feels like one is, you know, you've won anyway. Why not give him the swan song and the send off? And then the other one is, hey, if it's a dead rubber, it's the perfect time to be able to blood somebody else. What about he misses Melbourne, comes back in for Sydney, and he gets a chance to sail off into the sunset? Where do you sit on sort of farewell test?
What is this? I mean, whatever. I mean, I don't like that at all.
Yeah. But Ian Healy didn't get one, did he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If it happened, it's just very un-Australian. But if they did it, I'm not going to be upset. They won the series, do what you want, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, Oliver Clarke, he's had a phenomenal career.
Yeah, I still think that Inglis Khawaja is one spot. And maybe there's a still bit of that story to be written, depending on how Inglis looks tomorrow. And we know Steve Smith's coming back in, and so then there needs to be another spot on the lineup available for Khawaja heading to Melbourne. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
The big day.
Sorry to the listeners that may feel like I've heard this all before, but it has felt a little bit like Groundhog Day, where England were very average and Australia just took control of the game.
I was about to say we've seen it all before, and that's the point. That we're here to react the story that they write out in the middle, and unfortunately for England, it's a familiar refrain where they find themselves a long way down in the Test match. 356 behind, that number will grow on day 4 with the Aussies to resume 4 wickets down and the two Crow Eaters continue their innings. So Head 142, not Kerry on 52. Teddy, thanks for your company. I will chat to you at the end of day 4. Will it be the end of the Test match?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
60-40.
Yeah.
60-40.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, I think let's say Australia set them 450. They're going to come out hard. They're going to say the only way to score the runs here is to try and blow them away and put some pressure on. They're not going to grind them out and they're not going to play for a draw, I don't think. So and that will bring some risk into it.
Appreciate your time as always, Teddy. Chat tomorrow.
Later, Corb.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.